Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike. Today's podcast is all about the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's all we're going to touch on today. And the reason for that is because my off-season SEC power rankings start with the Arkansas Razorbacks. And the reason being for that, I ranked Arkansas 14 in my SEC off-season power rankings following spring football. And we're going to kind of get into why I have them that low. But more importantly, I've got a good guest coming up here. So she's got a lot of knowledge and history with Chad Morse, his program, his offense. So let's get to it. Unfortunately for Razorback fans, I've got Arkansas all the way down at number 14. A lot of that has to do with just basically the talent they have on that roster, what Brett Bielema left Chad Morse to work with. I think Chad Morse, I think that's going to prove to be an excellent hire for Arkansas. He's going to bring an exciting offense. It's not going to be anything like Bobby Petrino's offense, but obviously that era did bring a lot of enthusiasm and excitement. They lit up the scoreboards quite a bit there in Fayetteville and Little Rock, so I think we're going to see a little bit more of that with the Chad Morse era. It's just unfortunately at this time they just don't have the players to run that, but you know, based on what they were doing with Brett Bielema, I think in the end they were obviously just beating their head against the wall trying to beat Alabama and LSU at kind of their style of football, and that's just not going to work in the SEC West with Nick Saban running that thing right now. So whereas now they're going to bring a unique brand of offense to the SEC West that no one else is running, so it should give them somewhat of a competitive advantage. This move should really help Arkansas get competitive, and you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I think it's going to take 2 to 3 years at least, but you're not going to see these blowouts to Auburn. Losing 52-20 and 55-6, I believe it was 2 years ago. So, they're bringing back the offense to Arkansas, and I think that's the right move there for Arkansas. It's just going to take a little while before it gets where it needs to be. Our guest today on the podcast is Nikki Chavanel. She's the editor and recruiting reporter for the new Rivals affiliate Arkansas page, hogsbeat.com. You can follow her on Twitter at NIKKICHAVANELLE, Nikki Chavanel. There's a really good interview. For those who don't know, she's from SMU. She followed Chad Morse, and every year he was at that program, so she's already in with him and all his assistants. And that's a unique thing about Chad Morse. He's bringing over, he's brought over his offensive coordinator, who's also the quarterback's coach, the running back coach, the offensive line coach, receiver coach, secondary coach, strength and conditioning coach, and that doesn't even touch recruiting directors and stuff like that. So she's already in on all those people. So given her history with Chad Morse and his program, I expect she'll be one of the best new SEC beat writers for the 2018 season. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy this conversation I had with Nikki Chavanel of hogbeat.com. All right, today we want to welcome in Nikki Chavanel. She's the editor, recruiting reporter for the new Arkansas Rivals affiliate, hogbeat.com. Nikki, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I am so excited to get to work covering the Hogs.
Yeah, so why don't you tell people, you know, what's going on at Hogbeat and just kind of a little bit about your history for people that don't know.
So hogbeat.com is Arkansas's new arrival site. We've just rebranded, new staff, everything. So we're covering football, basketball, baseball, and, you know, wall-to-wall coverage of both the football and basketball teams recruiting. And then, of course, you know, some other things like if the softball team is doing really well, we'll cover that too. And then you get the premium message boards, and that's where we give you all the fun inside scoop that we hear, which luckily for me, I've covered Chad Morse and his staff for 3 years, so I've got some pretty good relationships, and, you know, I think we're going to be bringing a lot of good stuff to those boards, so subscribe.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and that's why I really wanted to have you on, because obviously there has been a coaching change at Arkansas, and you know it's really hard to tell what that team is going to do. So I think you're the best person to ask about that, because obviously you've been covering Chad Morris, you've been covering his coaches and you know his administration and everything, and I think it says a lot about Chad Morris and the faith that he has in the people already working for him at SMU that he's bringing over to Arkansas. And that's, you know, people like his offensive coordinator, his running back coach, offensive line coach, receiver, secondary, strength and conditioning, recruiting director. He's brought them all to Arkansas.
Yeah, and the people that he brought over are really all great. They all have their strengths. Like Coach Stepp, the wide receivers coach, he's arguably the best recruiter on the staff. Coach Fry, the offensive line coach, he's just a really, really smart coach. Guys love playing for him. Stuff like that. I mean, they're all really amazing.
Yeah, and you know, there's a really interesting story there for people that don't know. The recruiting director there at Arkansas, her name is Brooke Stepp, and she's actually married to the receivers coach Justin Stepp. And the story, as I understand it, was years ago when I think she was in high school, she babysat for Chad Morris. You know, became very close to him. When she graduated school, when Chad Morris got the SMU job, she joined him. So, you know, I think a lot of these coaches can kind of, you know, they pitch the family atmosphere that they have, as particularly in recruiting. And I think a lot of it is kind of a facade. But with Chad Morris, I mean, it's just look at his program, and it's he's proven that, he's a man of his word, and it really truly is a family atmosphere there.
Yeah, that means a ton to the recruits, because, you know, they have to talk to tens of coaches every single day. And so when they get a coach who really cares about them and wants to bring them into the family, it stands out to them. It's not just another day talking to another coach. It really means something.
And, you know, the parallel here is they're really interesting to me, because obviously SMU, prior to Chad Morris, they went 1-11 in 2014. His final year, they won 7 games. And I think, you know, if Arkansas fans are being realistic, I mean, that's kind of the same track record they're going to kind of have to be under in his first season. Brett Bielema did not leave a ton of talent there, but there was a steady progression under Chad Morris. Can you kind of just go into just basically what you saw at SMU from 2015 to 2017, just the progression of his program there?
Well, you know, SMU isn't able to pull in, you know, that elite level of talent. So it's a big credit to Chad Morris and his offensive scheme. The defense, you know, over the 3 years progressed. The defensive line got really, really good. The secondary still needed some work. But the offense, I mean, they were one of the best in the country. And they were doing that with, you know, Ben Hicks, who was an elite 8 quarterback in high school. But, you know, when he came to SMU, no one was like, oh yeah, this is the guy. No one was super sold on him, but in that scheme and in that system, he was able to throw to Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn, and, you know, they produced results. And I think you're going to see that same kind of thing at Arkansas. And I think it could even happen a bit faster, because the talent level is just a lot higher.
Yeah, now Cortland Sutton, that was a guy I really wanted to ask you about. To my understanding, I believe he came in as a safety, and obviously developed into one of the best receivers in school history, over 3,000 receiving yards, 31 touchdowns, was just a second-round pick by the Denver Broncos. You know, how much, you know, is just Chad Morris and Joe Craddock and those people, Justin Stepp, how much does credit do they deserve for developing him into an NFL receiver?
They deserve a ton of the credit. When Cortland was a freshman, everyone looked at him. They're like, wow, this kid he's huge. Like, why isn't he playing receiver? Because the Mustangs really needed guys that could catch the ball. And so in June Jones's last season, they did look to put him in at wide receiver, but he was still, you know, not strong enough. He gained about 25 pounds when Chad Morris came to the hill and to the hilltop, and Justin Stepp, of course, helps him with, you know, his route running and all the specifics of being a wide receiver. But I mean, they deserve a ton of that credit.
And, you know, it's interesting to me that they also, you know, it's one thing to take a guy that maybe is a little bit unheralded and develop him. But as you noted at Arkansas, they're potentially going to be landing big time receivers, and they need to prove that they can kind of, you know, get the guys that are high profile and, you know, get them to live up to it. And I thought they did that with Trey Quinn. He obviously started his career at LSU. He did not look like an SEC player. You know, he just looked lost out there from what I remember him being at LSU, transfers to SMU, and he has an incredible year. And he actually just got drafted by the Washington Redskins. So not only can they take, you know, a guy and build him up, but they can take a high-profile receiver and get him to live up to that billing.
Yeah, Trey Quinn is a unique case because at LSU – you know, no one really knew what he was going to become, and then he didn't get the playing time that he thought he deserved, and so he came to SMU and he sat on the bench and watched his teammates play, and when he got the chance, he really, really tore it up, and he has a great relationship with Coach Stepp as well, and every recruit I've talked to who interacts with Coach Stepp and is recruited by him says, that guy's family, that guy's my dude, and you're going to see a lot bigger names coming up to Arkansas to play receiver.
Okay, so, you know, we've touched a lot on the offense, but one thing I did want to ask you, which it is kind of offensive related, but it is kind of a defensive question here. Obviously, they hired John Chavis, who I ran the numbers. I believe he's got more years of SEC coordinating experience than every single SEC coordinator combined. So, which, I mean, that's pretty remarkable, and I think that was a wise hire in that regard, because Chad Morris does not have the SEC experience. But, you know, from what I know of John Chavis, you know, been studying him a long time, as obviously he's a ton of experience in the SEC, his defenses kind of struggle when they have to play too many snaps. And I know that's a thing with Chad Morris. You know, they want to play fast. I think he said he tried to set the record for the most snaps in a spring game in this last Arkansas spring game. So while they do go fast at MSU, SMU under him, do they ever slow down the tempo to where, you know, to kind of help out the defense? Is that something that they're capable of doing?
They're definitely capable of doing it, but I don't think that's going to be what you see. I think you're going to just see the defensive guys having to get in much better shape. Coach True is going to work with those guys to get them in the best conditioning they've ever been in, and because you don't want to take that speed out of the offense that gives them such an advantage, and I don't think that's going to change.
So when they say full tilt bookie, I mean they really mean it, huh?
Absolutely, hammer down.
Okay, and then I wanted to ask you about this guy. I assume you followed him when he was committed to SMU. He obviously flipped to Arkansas, and he's already on campus. But the receiver, Mike Woods, he's from Magnolia, Texas. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, that guy can play. He's a big body guy. He's already, you know, got the size that you want out of an SEC player. He's got the hands, good route runner. He's got a great relationship with Coach Stepp as well, and he's going to be able to adjust to the system quickly since he got in early, and I think you could see him a fair amount next season.
Is there any chance, you know, I don't know what you know about John Stephen Jones, but obviously we all know, you know, the bloodlines there. He's related to Jerry Jones, and I believe his Texas high school team won the state title due to a large, you know, largely in part to his performance in that game. Is there any chance you see him developing into potentially a starter in this offense?
I don't see it happening this year, but he's got a high football IQ. He's got that clutch factor. Watching some of his Highland Park games is some of, you know, the most exciting football I've ever seen, you know, at a high school level. But this year, I think Chad Morris is, his scheme is very complex, so it's going to take a while for these younger guys to catch up. And I think that's why you're not going to see him for a bit, you know.
All right. Well, obviously, just following you on Twitter, you're obviously very plugged into Arkansas and their recruiting efforts. So I just wanted to, you know, throw out a couple names and just get your thoughts on how likely you think it is that they end up at Arkansas, starting with, you know, the guy that everyone wants there around the nation, not only at Arkansas, but he's rated by many as the top tight end in the nation, Hudson Henry. What are the odds do you think he ends up playing at Arkansas, just like his brother and his father?
So right now his situation is he really likes Stanford as well for the academics, and they have a good history of using that tight end. And I know that when he visits the Hill and he talks to the coaches, they're giving him a presentation of exactly how they want to use that tight end position so that he knows that he'll get, you know, the chance to be seen, because of course he'll want to go on to the NFL as well. I'd give him, I don't know, I'd say a 65% Arkansas lean over Stanford at this point, just because he grew up in Arkansas. That's where his family is. Obviously, one of his brothers is over in California, but his other brother is still on the Hill, and I think that's going to win him over.
You know, I think that would be huge for Chad Morris and just kind of the momentum of his program. And basically, those are the players that he's got to get, particularly in state, if you know, the Razorbacks are going to compete in the SEC. I don't know what you've seen of Kenneth Jefferson, the quarterback from Mississippi, but it sounds like he's very high on the Razorbacks board. Do you think he could be a potential target there for, you know, in the future to be kind of the first big quarterback for the Razorbacks under Chad Morris?
I do think so. He's got that dual threat ability that Chad loves. It really adds a level of complexity to the offense when you have a guy that you just have no idea what he's about to give you. He can take off with the ball or really chunk it down the field. So I think Chad's a great job targeting in particular for that.
Now, one name that I keep seeing that is kind of on the radar now for Arkansas is Peyton Powell from Permian. But I'm a little confused because based on his stats, it seems like he's a quarterback, but maybe he's projected as more as a receiver. What can you tell us about him?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Peyton Powell from Permian, Texas. I keep seeing that his name is I think he was just recently offered by Arkansas. And most of his, I think he plays quarterback in high school, but he projects as a receiver for Arkansas. What can you tell us about him?
See, I was confused about him at first because I did think that they were targeting him at quarterback, but actually, it was Coach Smith, the cornerbacks coach, who went down there and looked at him and offered him. So he's actually going to be a defensive prospect for them or an athlete prospect.
And then, I'm from Nashville, so you know I'm very familiar with the Tennessee prospects. I've been very impressed with just speaking to them about how quickly and you know how much attention they receive from Arkansas. And we're talking some of the best players in the state of Tennessee, which this state is blowing up in population and football prospects. Guys like receiver Trey Knox, defensive backs Woody Washington and Odonis Ote, and from every time I hear from them, it's usually Arkansas, Tennessee, and Ohio State, Florida State. So I think you got to give Chad Morris a lot of credit. You know, obviously everyone points to his Texas roots, and he's obviously hitting that hard. He's hitting Arkansas hard, but he's also hitting the surrounding states. Can you kind of go into you know how you know his recruiting landscape is much bigger than just Texas and Arkansas?
I think the thing here to credit is, you know, building those relationships, because these kids, first of all, they want to play. And so Arkansas has playing time to give out. And the second thing is they want coaches that are going to care about them, because when they come to school, they're one of many, you know. So at these other schools, maybe they're not getting all the attention that they deserve. So when the staff talks to them and asks them about their day, their family, their school, everything like that, it all really adds up. And so Arkansas is hitting Louisiana as well. They're not going to stop until they get the best athletes at every position that they can, whether that means they're in Texas and Arkansas, Tennessee, wherever.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the final thing I just wanted to ask you, you know, obviously you've seen the Chad Morris, you know, his program, you've seen his offense. Even if, you know, I would say Arkansas is a very unique place where, based on everything I've seen, you know, the fan base is completely bought in on him and for good reason. But if Arkansas does struggle in this first year, which I think they will, but, you know, there's a potential where they surprise. If they struggle a little bit this first year, what can you personally speak to just from what you've seen at SMU to give Razorback fans hope for 2019 and moving forward?
I think if you look back at his history and his records in the past, you do see that the offense every year gets better. So even if they don't see right away, you know, the wins, if you don't see the wins right away, they will come because you know that this offense is going to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, and, you know, they actually catch a nice break this year as well because – a couple years ago, they were supposed to play Michigan, but Michigan bought out that game. So I believe they're the only SEC team that does not face a Power 5 opponent in the non-conference. So there's a really good chance they get four non-conference wins. If they can steal a couple in the SEC, this is a potential bowl team. So there's a lot to look forward to, and I think it's going to be a lot more exciting than the Brett Bielema era for Razorback fans.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an exciting time. A new coach is always puts a jolt back into the fan base.
And an exciting time for Rivals because they've got Hogbeat.com led by Nikki Chavanel. I just want to say I really appreciate it once again. Thanks for your time, and this is really, really good stuff here.
Thanks so much for having me, and don't forget to subscribe to Hogbeat.com.
All right, so that was Nikki Chavanel of Hogbeat.com. Just want to thank her again for her appearance and just in the short time that she's been covering Arkansas, and she's just all over the recruiting scene, in particular with Arkansas Razorbacks, so she's definitely a must-follow. Just want to give her a shout-out. Thanks for coming on. I think that was really good stuff. I mean, she made a lot of good points about what Chad Morris is, what he's all about, what his offensive system is going to look like at Arkansas. When he took over at SMU, they basically didn't have any players that are the caliber of what the Razorbacks already have. Yes, we can look at what Brett Bielema left Chad Morris, but if Chad Morris is a significantly better coach, specifically on the offensive end, there's an outstanding chance that he can elevate that unit immediately because there is some talent here. Obviously, the offensive line has been a troublesome spot since Sam Pittman left, but there's a lot of really talented receivers on this roster. The quarterbacks may not fit what Chad Morris exactly wants to do. It'll be interesting to see if some of these freshmen coming in, like Nolan and John Stephen Jones, if they can compete. You know, based on what Nikki said there, it doesn't sound like it's very realistic to expect them to come in and start year one. But, you know, plenty of talent at the quarterback position just may not fit exactly what Chad Morris wants to do. So it'll be interesting to see how well he adjusts his scheme to what the quarterbacks there can do. And when I say that, obviously I'm talking about Ty Story, Cole Kelly. You know, obviously they were not recruited by Chad Morris, so not the ideal fits. But according to Nikki, the same could be said for SMU's quarterback. He goes by the name of Ben Hicks, if you've not heard of him. He was a low-level recruit in his final season under Morris last year as a redshirt sophomore. Threw for over 3,500 yards, 33 touchdowns. So if Morris can get that kind of production out of a guy like Hicks, there's no reason to think that he can't get that out of Ty Story or potentially Cole Kelly immediately in 2018. Having said all that, it's troubling to me her comments on John Chavis, where, you know, I understand, he obviously is the most experienced SEC defensive coordinator in the entire conference, and that says a lot about him. I certainly don't think the game has passed him by, but, you know, it's just the way football is played now. You see it even at Alabama. They've gone to more spread looks, but still at the heart, they're still a power running team. And while they do run some hurry up, you know, I think it's crucial to, you know, eat up the clock to help your defense when you can. That was something that just haunted, for instance, the Chip Kelly offenses at Oregon, even – you may snicker at this comparison, but the Butch Jones offenses at Tennessee, specifically in 2016, that offense actually scored more points than any Tennessee offense in history. But, you know, they didn't do their defense any favors, and they got gashed time and time again. It really stung that team at the wrong moments with huge gains given up, and that's what happens when your defense breaks down and they take too many snaps. So that was something that really haunted John Chavis at Texas A&M. Kevin Sumlin, I think his offense, you know, they were a hurry-up offense as well. And, you know, you can still run that hurry-up and still eat clock, because obviously the whole point of it is to not allow defenses to make substitutions. So it'll be interesting to see if Chad Morris makes that adjustment. I think that'll be critical to his success as long as John Chavis is his defensive coordinator. It's fine going fast, but, you know, I think even his players are not, by the end of the year, they're still probably not going to be up to the speed and tempo that he ideally wants, just because it's going to be the first year in the system. I think he'd be really wise to, you know, you can go hurry up, but you can run that play clock down, help out the defense. I think that's, if they don't do that, I think that's something that could really hurt Arkansas in 2018 in Chad Morris's first year. That may be a bit of a downer to end on, but, you know, he's obviously brought a lot of energy, a lot of passion, a lot of fire, and a lot of speed to Arkansas. I think that's going to really suit them well moving forward. They're going to be somewhat of an outlier in the SEC, particularly in the SEC West. You know, outside of Auburn, there's not really many other teams doing that. So, you know, big things are ahead, just not in 2018, in my opinion. But hey, I picked Florida to win the SEC East last year, so what do I know?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Let's get out of here on this.
The one thing you'll never have to do is you'll never have to tell me go. You may have to tell me whoa, but you won't ever have to tell me go. We're going to put in the left lane. We're going to put the hammer down, and we're going to have fun. And I want to thank you all for coming out today, and go Hogs.